They're
great.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz? You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
Buzz! It's all about the buzz.
I'm Scott Shannon. Stand by for news.
All right.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They are lousy with VD. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, everybody at BlackRock is happy because the show's on time today.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Don't screw it up, Buzz.
All right, I'll try.
You don't have 5-minute segments today.
Okay.
Quick question for everybody.
Yes.
What time is that Yankees game tomorrow that Billy Crystal's playing in?
Day game, I believe, right?
During the show.
That would probably be a 1 o'clock
start.
That's normally when spring training games start. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll modify it a little bit.
We got to get ESPN in here. We got to get the audio in here tomorrow.
I want to hear about Billy. And you say he's playing second base?
Yeah, it's either second base or shortstop.
Oh, shortstop.
Yeah, baby. And who was the major? Who are they playing tomorrow? Who are the Yankees playing in this game?
That's important, too, because I'd like to know who they're playing and who's pitching.
Robbie? I believe it's the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, Don.
Thank you. Because it was Don Zimmer, who used to be with the Cubs and used to be with the Yankees. He's the guy that was on SportsCenter last night that said, and he's that Popeye-looking guy.
Yeah, he used to manage the Red Sox.
Spits all the time. And
the Zipper.
The Cubs, right. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that said, all I can say is if he's in the game, he's in the game.
I am not. I might be mistaken, but I think it was the Yankees, and it might have been either yesterday or today. I think it was yesterday that there was a brawl, so there's a little bad blood. You know, Tampa's kind of a chippy little team because they, you know, they're always the also-rans, and who knows? All you need.
Oh, Tampa Bay is the team that was bitching when the catcher got run over by the guy that was trying to make the team the other day.
Right, and I think there's no love lost between the Yankees and Tampa.
Well, I would love to do the play-by-play simulcast on that tomorrow. We've got to steal that from ESPN so that we can hear the moment when it's, there's Billy Crystal, there's the wind of it. Oh, my God. Oh, cutaway commercial. Billy's down.
But the fact that Zimmer said that, though, you know, when he stands in at the plate, he's just like everybody else. Because especially with Tampa, with a team like Tampa, they're probably going to go, oh, of course, they're going to start him against us.
I misspoke. They played Tampa today. Tomorrow, Billy Crystal will be playing the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, that's,
same thing.
That's too bad. That's,
same bitter team.
It's a 1-15 as
that's
the first
too
pitch.
Bad because that guy Don Zimmer was saying, maybe he was saying in essence, if he played against us, if anything goes.
You know, and Pittsburgh would be another team that, you know, always bringing up the rear, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you might have a little tension there because they're not going to control these guys.
First pitch at 1:15. It's on MLB TV and Yes. Oh, what is that? What sports network?
Yes, it's the Yankee network.
Okay.
Is there any word on, like, how many innings he's going to play or any of that?
According to the Yankees website, it's just a preseason game.
Oh, I can't wait.
And
I can only hope.
I'm going to screw the name up. Is it Tony Conigliaro?
Tony Conigliaro, yes.
That's the guy.
The late Tony Conigliaro.
All I remember about this guy, I wasn't a big baseball fan in 1969.
Right.
But I remember him on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
One of the most amazing photos in the history of sports.
Right? Back in the day when you would go to the library at school and someone would pass around Sports Illustrated and say, look at this guy. Look at this guy's face.
Right.
This guy was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with major black eyes after he'd been hit in the face with a pitch.
Back in the era of the curse for the Boston Red Sox because he was one of their most promising outfielders that they had and got a fastball to the face right in the eye socket. Really, he played a little bit after that, but it pretty much ended his career.
Wow.
You know, he was a potential superstar. Ouch. He was a superstar. He was doing really well with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I mean, all you have is you look at this giant, now it's a softball size in his eye socket, pure purple where he got beamed.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Either that or Rudy Tomjanovich. If there's any basketball fans out there.
He's the guy that got hit by Kermit Washington.
Kermit Washington just
went to American University.
Boom! Boom!
Broke his jaw. Pretty much ended his career, too, right?
I'd like to see that, yeah. What do you think, Dr. Phil?
I forgot that my dress was up around my waist when I got out of the car.
Okay. So, I got so many questions, though. I'd love to know if he's starting. how many innings he's going to play, you know, how many at-bats they're going to give him.
What do you think, Dr. Phil?
Yeah, I do believe that Oprah has an alien baby.
Okay, well, he's got nothing to say about Billy Crystal.
Clearly. But it's now that it's getting closer to reality, it's so ludicrous, the fact that they're actually going to have him in a game in a regular – this is when you're getting down to the end of spring training. This is when you're starting to tune up, and this is when a lot of guys are still fighting for jobs.
Mm-hmm. I was telling you yesterday, there's going to be some guy on the bench.
They're going to sit Derek Jeter.
There's got to be some up-and-comer who's going, Christ, I'm never going to get out of Columbus or whatever, the double-A, triple-A team, because Billy Crystal's got to come play today.
This is what I'm thinking they're going to do. They're actually going to bring him in super late innings. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's not going to be any safer because they're bringing in pitchers the same way. They bring the guys, the A-ball, double-A-ball guys. That's the guys they bring in.
That would work out best for our live coverage.
Yes. I do not see him.
Mike?
If they start him, it's going to be purely ceremonial.
Do you know if they run that on MLB.com with some sort of video, why we can watch it on the internet? And we can provide our own commentary.
Play by play, sure.
Now he comes to the plate. There's the set by the Oh my God!
Oh Billy!
Oh no!
Oh, there will not be a 700 and first Sunday for Billy Crystal.
Billy's arm is at a very strange angle. It does not look as he lies down on the first baseline. It does not look normal.
Oh, the Yankee pinstripes. It's a red, white, and blue mess.
It's a crimson tide. Oh Billy, where are you?
Billy Crystal died of a head injury this afternoon at 1:45 p.m., but he died playing baseball.
Shortstop. Mm-hmm.
Shortstop.
Now, really, you think about major league players, and you think about even the ability to throw the ball across the diamond at the age of 60.
No way.
I'm looking forward to it.
We all are.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this is Sandy Koufax.
I'm here with Hank Greenberg.
I'm alive. Right? Sandy Koufax is alive, or is he dead?
I think Sandy Koufax.
I'm sorry. Now I remember. Hi, it's Sandy Koufax. I'm dead, which is why Larry King keeps saying we are friends.
No, I think, is Sandy Koufax dead? No, he's still alive.
Is he dead or alive?
I think Sandy Koufax is still with us.
If he's alive, he could be on the team. be on the team with Billy and all the other people we mentioned yesterday.
Play him at shortstop. That's a good idea. New manager Joe Girardi.
Gee, I hope that doesn't get on. What do you call it, Mike? A can of corn when it's hit at a play at a jaunty angle?
Usually, I can explain it to you. Normally, a can of corn would be best described
as... Is that kosher?
A kosher corn.
Kosher corn?
A soft fly ball to one of the outfielders, and they call it a can of corn. Now, if Billy is playing shortstop, that can of corn might result in Billy trying to run out to the outfield, which, of course, I might remind you, results occasionally in a very severe collision.
Wouldn't it be nice if Billy got injured, and as he was lying on the ground, someone from the other team walked by and said, hey, you look marvelous.
Well, we'll have to see tomorrow.
Or another of his catchphrases.
That's right.
He's so very, very funny.
Hello, Nando. You're bleeding, Billy.
Billy, you're so very talented, and congratulations on your birthday. I've bought you a one-day contract with the Yankees. No a-hole in the history of sports has ever gotten that. Congratulations, Billy. Have a happy birthday.
Hello, Dawn.
Hi, Robbie.
I was just on a website. Do you ever go on the web?
Sometimes, if it's free.
This is different than that. MLB.com.
Yes.
I believe we can buy a month membership for $15.
Very good.
And perhaps listen to the game tomorrow. I'll research this tonight.
Yes, research all the statistics.
Do it. Let's buy it. Mm-hmm.
That would be whether he's starting. Of course, you might not know that until minutes before game time.
True.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Exciting.
Submit your batting orders.
Good luck storming the castle.
Because don't forget, with the New York Yankees, a satisfied consumer is our best customer.
That's right, and I hope that Billy provides the team with a performance consistent with quality.
Consumers who appreciate the relationship between quality and price know that their dollar always goes further at
the Don and Mike Show,
where an educated consumer is our best customer.
And of course, at the end of the game, the box score will be marked final.
Did we mention yesterday that Paul Schaefer will be one of our official third base coaches?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's very, very exciting.
I don't know if we had him on the team yesterday.
I'm looking forward to
you know
that.
What? We had him, but you know who we missed?
Oh, who do we forget?
Alan Coulter.
Alan Coulter.
Alan Coulter.
You know what? I know
you've
how your
gone
mind
deep
works.
Into the rack on
I
that
know
one.
How your mind works. You just think of the people that don't show up on Yom Kippur on Letterman.
Oh, that is true.
Right?
That's
so that's the easy way to find out who's Jewish on Letterman, because when Yom Kippur comes, there's always a different band leader, and there's always a different announcer.
That's right, and I know special tickets are being left for Alan and David Goodman. Should be a lot of fun.
The Goodman, yeah.
The Goodman twins.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
How are you, Buzz?
I'm well, thank you. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, not so much. As you may have heard, he resigned today after being caught in that prostitution scandal. He said his wife thought he should stay on the job, but after 2 days of huddling with his people on how to survive this storm, Spitzer says he's out effective Monday.
Did you see this coverage with this thing? I mean, the piling on of the wife is what gets me. I mean, like, the lady is not going through enough crap already.
Yeah.
And one of the announcers has to say, I believe in the last 3 days she's aged. That's really nice. That's nice
so?
Piling Becky, on right yeah. there.
And we played this earlier, but it's worth hearing just a second again. Mm. Nutty Jim Cramer.
Yes.
You would think that this is the guy that was cheating on his wife. Listen to this guy today on the Today Show.
You know, you've had a couple of rough days on a very personal level. I know that you're good friends with Governor Spitzer and his wife, Silda. You all went to Harvard Law School together. Mm. When news of this scandal first broke, what went through your mind?
Well, first, it's not tough for me. I was on air, and I was denying it because it was inconceivable to me. He's a friend of mine, and it's inconceivable. But it happened.
It's a bull market for prostitution.
Where's the champ? I love you, Meredith. Hug me, please. Hug me, please, Meredith. I'm normally a big, tough stock market guy, but somehow I've gone into this voice talking about my friend, Elliot Spitzer. He had his wee-wee out. I can't defend him anymore because they're saying he's a bad guy.
But his one thing does all the thinking for him, Meredith.
Terrible. I know them both.
And it will be fun to ask Jim Nance about this tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, I'm the sure, Spitzer gun.
I'm sure Nance has a take on that.
Great tragedy, guys.
The guys.
Yeah. Use the word sad.
The guys.
Very sad.
Not funny, guys.
All right. Republicans were threatening to impeach Spitzer if he didn't announce his resignation by today. The transition of power to New York's lieutenant governor will give the Empire State its first African-American governor.
And the way that this has been announced on TV, and I guess it's only on TV, I got to say, just on CNN and on Fox, I love it. When they want to come out and say the guy's going to be making history, but on the other hand, it's like, how can we possibly win? They say, okay, this guy's got the job.
Right.
It's a first. He's black,
and
he's blind.
Legally blind. The use of just his right eye.
But the way that it's presented is like, and do you believe this? Like, almost like people of New Jersey, were you aware when you voted for your governor of New York? Were you aware? Not only is he black.
But he's blind.
He's blind.
I was. I was watching this and. It's maybe an insensitive question to ask, but how blind is he?
I can tell you exactly. He is able to walk without assistance. He can recognize people when they walk into the room.
All right, then it's a fake to call him blind.
Well, no, he's legally blind, which means he can't.
Half of us on the show are legally blind.
He can't. No, if you're legally blind, that means you can't drive a car.
Oh, all right.
That's what his main...
Well, you can't drive a car, good.
I rest my case. Half of us are legally blind.
He can also read, but only at a very close distance.
Oh, what a faker, what a poser.
Only out of that one
eye.
He's
not really blind.
But is he really black?
Legal. He's legally blind and legally black.
I want him to be blind like Ralphie's dream sequence in A Christmas Story.
Yes, like that.
That kind of blind.
With the cane.
Oh!
Sammy Davis Jr.
That was legally blind, too, because he only had one good eye.
And black. Black.
All right, everybody.
And Jew.
But never became governor.
A black Jew with only one eye.
Get him on the team.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, that's right. He could play if he was alive.
This is interesting stuff. The feds started investigating Spitzer because he was paying that escort service in cash and with lots of it, perhaps as much as $80,000 over the last 6 years. We also know he used a technique called smurfing, which turns a big transaction into multiple smaller transactions. That's to throw off prosecutors like Spitzer used to be. We also know he used his own money, not money from taxpayers or campaign donors. And Spitzer's a multimillionaire with expensive taste. The Emperor's Club offered women that were rated one diamond, through seven diamonds. Spitzer only hired the seven diamond ladies.
For the fifth time today, he's passed along the note that he thinks Switzer looks like Bill Cower.
Switzer.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That he looks like Bill Cower without the mustache.
No way.
Oh, look at him.
Oh, he looks like he's a cross between Bill Cower and James Carville.
He only looks like Bill Cower when you see old footage and he's happy because he sticks his chin out. But he does look Cowardian.
He looks a little bit like, you know the movie Midnight Express about the guy that gets busted?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know the guy's father? You were going to get you out of here, Billy.
I only remember that scene where he pushes his boob up against
the girlfriend comes in against
the window.
He is a strange-looking man.
Hold on, everybody. Here's a guy with betting lines for Billy Crystal.
Okay.
Hello, Ryan.
Brian, for entertainment purposes only, and right. I guess this is tailored to Mike, there is a money line for tomorrow for Billy Crystal on the offshore betting line.
What are the bets?
If for a $100 bet, you win $300 if he makes contact with the ball, even foul tip. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. What else?
If he gets a hit, a $100 bet gets you $500.
That's pretty good.
The last bet, and this is probably the biggest gamble, you have to lay out $1,500 to win $100 if he makes no contact in the entire game.
Is there any kind of a bet if he gets hit by a ball?
No, I didn't see anything like that. Those three were the big three. I found that kind of.
And you don't know how, like whether he's going to start or when he's coming into the game or how many innings he's going to play.
Right. There was no contingency on how many plate appearances.
Hey, what was the deal again? I'm sorry. The third one about if he whiffs or not. What are the odds on that?
Yeah, let's say he takes three pitches and they're all strikes, and he gets up three times. They throw nine pitches. And he strikes out three times.
$1,500 to make one.
You'd have to lay out $1,500.
That's a bad bet.
Terrible bet.
That's a major. Yeah. Major gamble.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, my friend.
But can I say VD is for everybody?
Yeah, but how do you say
How do you say goodbye to us now, though?
I love you.
Very good.
That was perfect. Thank you.
Good boy.
Let's go back to Buzz.
22-year-old call girl Kristen says Elliot Spitzer wanted to go bareback the night before Valentine's Day.
Oh, God.
Oh, look out! Look out!
That's right.
She refused.
I better bring my rubbers.
She refused, of course, and made him put on the condom.
Oh, it gets better.
Elliot Ephraim don't wear no rubbers.
Elliot Spitzer did a lot of stupid things, like bringing a misdemeanor hooker across felony state lines. And by doing various things, he looked for as a prosecutor back when he brought down a prostitution ring. In fact, if anything puts Spitzer in prison, it'll be the financial monkey business, not the sex. So far, though, no criminal charges have been filed.
Here's a serious question. Is it because he's governor? Because you mentioned he's using his own money, not taxpayers' money.
Right.
What made people look into his finances? He's allowed to have money. He's allowed to move personal money from one account to another account. Is he not?
The way I understand this is they were investigating the prostitution ring,
right,
and they recognized him by his voice.
Say no more.
That's the way I heard it.
Say no more.
And when he paid for the hooker, he did use his own money, but he used the name of a big campaign donor.
Now that
this guy is screwed up on so many levels.
Yeah, isn't that also the name that he used when he checked into the hotel or left for her?
Was
the name
George
of a friend?
Something, yeah. George Brown,
Like that. Oh, by the way, CNN admits it should not have used a guy who bit a hooker as an expert commentator on the Spitzer case yesterday. Of course, CNN didn't mention...
That was funny.
They didn't mention Ken Coffey's past when they interviewed him about Spitzer's legal situation. Mr. Coffey is, in fact, a lawyer, but also charged with biting a topless dancer on
Remember
the arm...
Joe DiMaggio?
...after he'd lost a big drug case.
Hey, I used to bone Marilyn Monroe. How would you like a nice thick cup of coffee?
Coffee.
With a Y, just so you'll know. And if you think New York's governor has problems, consider the plight of the police chief of Iran's capital. Reza Zarai was given the job of moralizing the city of Tehran, mostly by making sure that women obeyed the dress code. He has arrested hundreds of young people in the course of his work. But this week, the chief of police of Tehran was caught in the nude with six prostitutes. Now he's been arrested.
Yeah, baby.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, baby. They don't punish over there.
Only six?
Right. Yeah. The big presidential race news today isn't so much that Barack Obama won Mississippi yesterday, but that it now appears he's also won Texas away from Hillary. At least in terms of delegates, Obama now leads Hillary Clinton in the Lone Star State after the second step in what's referred to as the Texas two-step.
Oh, that's the other great news for Hillary. is that Spitzer is one of her superdelegates.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, yeah, another good news.
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
Texas primary always followed by the Texas caucus, and although Hillary won the popular vote there,
caucus,
she did not prevail in yesterday's survey of the remaining one-third of the state's delegates. The Obama camp claims that with yesterday's Mississippi win and the new delegates from Texas, he has now effectively canceled out the 11 delegates that Clinton gained last week.
Sure.
And CBS News is calling out NBC's Saturday Night Live for becoming a platform for the Clinton campaign. In all three of the new episodes since the writer's strike, there have been pro-Hillary sketches, an endorsement from Tina Fey, and an appearance by Clinton herself. Some say the Clinton's late-night TV appearances, including SNL, helped put her over the top in Texas and Ohio last
week. Look how good that's worked out for her.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd be really curious.
Seriously,
though,
how's that working out for all that free publicity?
You want to find out whether that's true or not. You find out who Lorne Michaels is donating to, and whether he's on the camp. I mean, if you really think that's a chance,
he's probably one of those guys, right, Robbie, Canadian to begin with, but also he's probably one of those guys who probably spreads it around and donates to everybody.
Yeah, probably.
Well, right, wrong, or coincidence, after her appearance on SNL and then subsequently The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, the next day in that primary Ohio and Texas, she did very, very well. I get excited.
I know, just slow down. You got plenty of time. For God's sakes, please. Were you not here yesterday? You have the entire hour.
CBS,
you don't have to power read, speed read through your news.
I understand.
Slow down.
CBS News says this new pattern takes SNL
slower
from being a political
slower
parody to a cheerleader.
I'm stupid. Slower.
For the Clinton campaign.
Pick it up.
Pick up the pair.
Meet the new homeless guy when we continue.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Nope, I'm sorry, I'm totally dry.
Oops, hold on. Dry idea.
Dry. I forgot. That's what happens. That's sometimes. Hi, Buzz. Oh, I didn't even turn on your microphone.
Hi.
Did I?
Hi there.
Buzz. How the heck are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hi there. So I was just going to the bathroom. Sorry about that.
Well, everybody has to.
Sorry.
There was orange spray in there earlier.
The Don and Mike Show.
Who's that guy?
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Even better than a stroke and a poke. The Don and Mike Show.
I've had a hell of a piss, Arnold. Hi, Buzz. You know what it says? Speaking of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, on our bathroom in there,
right?
Someone painted on the mirror, "Eat big, hairy, bad word."
I'm a single, successful guy.
Right.
Who is that guy?
Thank God I came out of there dry,
mm-hmm,
out of our bathroom.
Thank God,
our wonderful bathroom. Yes, our luxurious marble bathroom.
Thank God with the yellow stains.
Heated floor.
God, it's the foulest bathroom
that
in the world.
Magnificent toilet.
You know, really, you ought to put a Texaco sign over that. That's exactly
what it
means.
That's an insult to Texaco.
I think you're right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Hey, did you notice the new homeless guy? The bank just foreclosed on him.
Joe.
Him and thousands of other guys just like him. City's resources are now being stretched to the brink by the new wave of homeless and other victims of the nation's foreclosure crisis. Oh, if only those government checks would arrive. Because the ripple effect of mass foreclosure is not just homelessness, but crime and vacant houses popping up all over. And the National League of Cities survey shows that cities do not have the money to hire more cops to deal with the increase in crime.
You know, I'm hearing conflicting stuff about this. I mean, what you're saying, the story is obviously true.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like in D.C. this past week in the District of Columbia, they had a giant thing at the convention center with all these foreclosed homes.
Right.
And I was reading that people were saying, you know, it's not really the bargain that you think it is, because in many cases you get there and, like, the house is $100,000 less than it's worth. And people start bidding on it, like it's on eBay.
Driving the price.
And then people forget when it gets the price that it should have sold for a year ago when the people couldn't afford it, you end up going paying more for the house than if you actually went and just bought the house to begin with.
I think there is a very big industry right now in saying, ooh, it's a foreclosure, you know, take advantage of somebody else's misery, when in fact you're not maybe getting the great deal you thought you would get. It might be the same thing with interest rates. You hear that the you know, the Fed is lowering interest rates and lowering interest rates, and then when you really explore, you know, whether the mortgage rates have gone down that much, it's not the incredible steal that people think it is.
Not getting passed along to the consumer.
And plus, with a lot of these houses that are foreclosed, it's my opinion that the people that got into these houses had some idea halfway through that they weren't going to be there.
Right.
So they probably, like the last 3 months, treated it the way that disc jockeys treat radio stations.
Like
whenever
our bathroom.
No, I know a serious answer to this question because a buddy of mine works in that business. Yeah. And you know what's being done in a lot of cases now? Fixtures, including like granite tabletops, countertops, and sinks. All the light fixtures, some of the plumbing being taken out. When people get foreclosed, they take all the stuff with them.
Wow.
Load it up in the truck, middle of the night. A lot of people, you know, when they have that situation, when they're vacating their property, they do so under cover of night. It happens like that.
I maybe was on, what's that Dan Rather show that's on the High Def channel?
Yeah, I know, Dan Rather Reports.
That's it. Anyway, right. They did a thing about Northern California and all the foreclosures. And they went to a bunch of homes. I know you love that, Rob, Northern California.
We all do.
They went to a bunch of homes that really looked like all people did was eat and defecate and have sex. And it was not like a thing with, like, abused people or anything. They're just people that knew. They said they knew that they weren't going to be able to keep the house the last month they lived in there. Mm-hmm. It's party central.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Literally, it's party central.
It's really, you know, I just think all is not what
The American dream, baby.
All is not what it appears to be when it comes to, you know, the bargains that are out there. But there are a lot of people now, a lot of vultures out there trying to swoop in and get the big deal.
But to be fair, all houses in Sacramento look that way.
To be fair.
Why should we buy the fireplace when we can simply have a fire in the middle of the living room?
Hey, don't bring the sofa in.
Don't forget what the greatest politician of our era, Arnold Schwarzenegger, said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He will not live in Sacramento because it is
death.
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 Sacramento is death.
Death.
He says that in GQ magazine.
And I will fly to L.A. with my $10,000 an hour jet because I've got the money. And that's where I want to go.
Sure.
Who cares? I know I got a big carbon footprint.
The economy, foreclosures, also depressing. If only there were something you could smoke to cheer you up. We now know that Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island, was actually busted last October. The story was just breaking when we mentioned it here yesterday. The actress, who is said to have supplied the late Bob Denver with his stash, was arrested just after a surprise birthday party for her last year in Idaho's Grand Tetons. She pleaded guilty and was fined $400.
It was Ginger that had the Grand Tetons.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought
we've had that discussion a million times, too. You're a Marianne person. I was a Ginger one.
But
I think as they look now, you might change your position, though.
Really?
Well, did you see the picture of the mugshot of Marianne?
Yeah, but I haven't seen a current picture of Ginger.
I saw a current picture of Ginger. Kind of looked like Tammy Faye Baker when she was on the Larry King show.
Okay. I was afraid of that.
So it's the who would you do.
But it's current celebrities who talk about their pot habits in a new book called Pot Culture. Now, the book features tips and recommendations from Adam Levine of Maroon 5, Jonah Hill of Superbad, Steve-O, Rob Thomas, and Melissa Etheridge.
What chapter is yours?
I'm not in there yet. They didn't ask me.
Okay.
But the foreword is written by Tommy Chong, of course.
Friend of the show, Tommy Chong.
That's
great,
right.
Bongs.
Oh, Gibson Guitars is suing Activision, claiming Gibson holds the original patent to technology that allows for simulated performances.
Charlie Gibson.
Activision says Gibson's patent is invalid.
Debbie Gibson.
Is it Guitar Hero? Is that what we're talking about?
Right.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's how TiVo is going to survive after being dropped by DirecTV. TiVo says it has made a deal with YouTube. You'll need to hook up the TiVo to high-speed internet to make it happen at your house.
That's going to work.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, you still, the DVRs that we have, does that mean we're going to have to get new ones?
No, the ones we have are
not TiVo anymore.
See, they're not?
You've got just a DirecTV DVR.
Right.
TiVo is a brand name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And because more and more cable companies, satellite companies are supplying their own DVRs now, TiVo is finding it hard to hold on to their share of the market. So now
they're doing whatever they can.
Now they're hooking up with YouTube, which just seems like idiotic.
Well, it's very they've got to do something, and YouTube's extremely popular. If you can see those videos in better quality than on your desktop computer, maybe it'll work for them. Who knows?
What if you're old school and you do still have a TiVo box? I still have one.
I have a TiVo box.
It can still be used. It's not a total piece of junk.
With the green thumbs up and the red thumbs down.
Mm-hmm. And the little character.
Yeah, character.
Character.
Oh, I still got one of those in my house. That still works. That's great. That's a great box.
It is a great. It's a hot box.
Nice box.
It's a box box.
Right.
In many ways, I like it better than the other because it'll get stuff you don't specifically ask
my
for.
My TiVo is box.
Southwest Airlines has pulled 40 airplanes out of circulation after reports it fudged on safety inspections.
Southwest. Just for my money, you want to talk about Southwest Airlines. Take a look at the CEO and his teeth. You know, you see that guy on a TV commercial. He does TV commercials. He's got bad teeth.
Mm. Listen, I fly a lot. I think more than the average person. I think Southwest Airlines, the planes always smell like barf.
You go. You'll not be getting you a free ticket.
Well, listen, they're very on time, and if you're like, and if you're like,
so
looking,
there's that.
If you're like looking for a direct flight to Phoenix or Las Vegas, they kick ass. But I'm not kidding you. When I see that red and blue, I think barf. It always smells like some little kid just barfed.
That's their slogan now. If we're not on time, you can stick your finger down your throat.
France's Transportation Authority is charging Continental with manslaughter over the crash of a Concorde in 2002. And in Ness City, Kansas today, a 36-year-old man could face criminal charges.
You know, I'm going to go back to that for a second. Think about the other airlines.
Uh-huh.
There is generally that, I don't want to call it hospital smell, but it's that fake clean smell when you get on, like, U.S. Air, United, American.
You took a black light. We did this at the radio station years ago. If you took a black light to those planes, I mean, really, it's one of the – especially if you're on one of the 1980s planes.
Right.
And, you know, you see how foul it is. You see where the seats are completely worn, and you look at the bulkhead, and the bulkhead's, like, where people have put their feet up, and that's worn away.
Southwest. I mean – like I said, an on-time airline, yes. Right. I fly them a lot to go out west. They're fantastic.
But,
however, really, I'm not kidding you. If I get a choice of Southwest or somebody else, I'll actually maybe even, my God, one time I stopped in Atlanta rather than take a Southwest flight because I swear to God the planes smell like barf.
You know, they all have old planes, a lot of them in the fleets now. I was on a plane, I swear to God, it was a World War One plane that they had, and it had that exact same smell. And it's a smell that it's not just the barf, right? It's the barf trying to be masked by something.
Yeah, and the other airlines all do a good job of masking it. Like, you know, when you go in a hospital and they mask the smell of death.
Yes,
it's clean.
That smell.
But you know that just beneath the clean, there's death.
Say you're on a plane that was built in 1983 and it's been in service since then. Do the math. You know, you're on like a regular 737. How many farts? How many farts at altitude? Amazing.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot.
Mind-boggling. Terrifying.
I've noticed that I always smell the air freshener just after a meal on the rare flights where they still serve food.
Mm-hmm.
That just afterward, that's no accident.
And also, I know that, you know, boy, I'm not trying to rag on Southwest here, but how many times have I been on a Southwest plane and the seat in front of me is always shiny? And the reason that it's shiny, the back of the seat is shiny, is because there's been so many sweaty hands and heads and feet that have been pushed against it. Yeah, it's like a big Stridex pad.
Next time we're on a Southwest flight together, we can have a bet. Let's see who can lick it first.
But I will say this, they're very hot. Mm-hmm. All the Southwest employees are hot.
I don't think I've ever been on a Southwest plane.
I've been on I used to try to go United pretty much exclusively because I got a hub at Dulles.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on Southwest. Great service, hot stews.
Really?
They don't mind giving you a couple of drinks on the house.
Really?
Yeah, but
do they have good looking stews?
Yes.
Huh.
But it's the BARF smell.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hot stews, barf smell.
Spoils the mood.
Maybe that's how they stay skinny.
A 36-year-old man may be facing criminal charges in Ness City, Kansas, after Sheriff Whipple found the man's girlfriend stuck to his toilet. She has apparently been there for 2 years. Quoting the sheriff, she was not glued, she was not tied, she was just physically stuck by her body. Whipple says it appears the woman's body fat had grown attached to the toilet seat.
Oh, you rob, squeak, I hate you. I hate your big fat ball head ass.
Today, the seat was removed from the toilet with a pry bar.
My God, 2 years?
Tony Diggs.
She sat in that same spot for 2 years.
On a toilet?
On a toilet. In her boyfriend's house, in one of his bathrooms. Thank goodness he had another one.
Oh, my God.
The toilet seat was removed, like I said, with a pry bar from the house.
Did she ask to be moved?
No. No, she did not. The toilet seat was removed from the woman today at a Wichita hospital where she's listed in fair condition, which is the best you can hope for in a Wichita hospital.
Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
The boyfriend says the woman refused to come out of the bathroom for 2 years, refused to come out because she's shy.
Oh.
He says he asked her to come out every day. Every day he would ask her to come out. She never did until today.
2 years. 2 years, the smell.
How did she eat?
Can you imagine? He said he would bring her food and water. He brought her food and water on a regular basis.
Yeah. While she's on the bowl.
And she didn't tell him she was stuck?
No. I mean, you know, it didn't matter because she wouldn't come out anyway. So it wasn't until
He'd go in to bring her food.
Right. And say hi. And
but wouldn't he see her sitting on the toilet and say, honey, you want to think about getting up today?
He did every single day.
You would think that he might have seen her move to the sink or something if she was just going to stay in the bathroom.
She's right. No. He tried. She wouldn't move.
You think she's going to get hemorrhoids?
Yeah, well, at least one.
Oh, can you imagine that? That same position. That's how you get them when you stay in one spot for too long.
And that's, I mean, you get that for just 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
2 years on a toilet?
Wow.
2 years. Did you make that up, Buzz?
That's a true story.
That's from Wichita, Kansas?
Wichita, Kansas.
And he was a sheriff?
No. The sheriff did some of the quotes there. He's the one who said that she wasn't glued to the toilet seat, that we were quoting Sheriff Whipple from Ness City there.
Sheriff
on that story.
Whipple.
That's right.
So she, like, grew to the toilet
seat. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Over a period
she
of
fused.
2 years.
They
say when she was a child, she never, I guess her parents died when she was very young, and she just never went out of the house. She never, ever left the house. And apparently, this shyness, this, what is it, agoraphobia?
Agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia.
Right.
She just never came out of the house, and eventually, over the last 2 years, never came out of this guy's bathroom.
But she ate well.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because she's fat enough to get stuck.
They say when they took her out of there today, she was still wearing the gray sweatpants that were down around her knees.
Oh.
And had been for the last 2 years.
What about her Daisy?
And
if she's fused.
A team of doctors.
Has she gone 2 years without wiping?
Clearly, if she's stuck to the
toilet seat. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a medical case to be sure.
Boy, I hope it flushed well.
They'll be writing about this for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got the name of the book, 2 Years Without Wiping.
You know, it brings up so many questions.
I know.
How did she flush? Did she flush with her elbow?
Or did she?
Well, Buzz, she 2 years. Out. 2 years, please.
Yeah, I mean, that's physics.
You know what? Have you ever, like, poured a bucket of water in a toilet? When it gets to a certain level, it goes down by itself.
Yeah, but I bet she could flush. I mean, if you're sitting there, you can
flush.
You're
talking about number two, though, not water.
Yeah, you can flush.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to say she flushed, okay?
You always become the silver
way
side
to spoil
of the cloud.
The story.
Well, hey, you know, call me stupid for always thinking the toilet's half full.
I think she's hot. got a boner.
I'm sure we'll hear more about
that. But I pulled a boner. I did it again.
Wow.
And I love a mystery. In Canada, human feet are washing up on a beach. They are washing up on some islands just off Canada's west coast. And this is where it gets weird.
Oh, they're happy.
They're all right feet.
Happy feet. Wasn't that a movie?
I don't know if they're happy feet.
Isn't that a movie like about penguins?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Exactly. Right.
Animated feature.
Old Steve Martin routine. I've got happy feet.
Oh, that's right. Happy feet.
Well, all of these are right feet that have washed up on the beach. And they're all wearing athletic shoes. And they're all size 12s. Three of these feet have washed up on this beach, on this Canadian island, in the last 6 months.
Were they stuck to a toilet seat?
No. No, but DNA testing hasn't turned up anything yet. They tend to swell after they've been in the water for a while.
You know, Buzz, I think we should follow up on this toilet seat lady
tomorrow. Oh, we will. I'm all over this.
Anybody from Wichita that knows about this should call us on tomorrow's show. We must find
updates.
Out about this lovely
this
lady.
Is fascinating.
Well, I'm sure we'll be learning more as the night goes on.
All right.
Theories run rampant, meanwhile, on the washed up feet. Police say they have no solid leads at this point.
Mm.
Oh, the places you'll go and the things you shall see. Dateline, southeastern India. Outside a small village, someone saw what they believed to be an image of the Virgin Mary in the sky. Desperate to believe, crowds of people flocked to the villager's house to see for themselves. And then 50 of the people who stared up into that sunny sky got their retinas burned and are now blind. Finally, New York Governor Eliot Spitzer and the police chief of Tehran.
I wouldn't stop there.
You want to?
I know. It's your sandbox. I'm just saying. Right? Unless you got something better, well, I would have stopped there.
We'll see. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer and the police chief of Tehran, not the only guys to let their penises do the thinking. From Changchow, China, the story of a woman who cut off her husband's and gave it to their 6-year-old son to teach the boy the importance of marital fidelity.
Well, all right, you were correct, Buzz.
It was coming off anyway after she'd caught her husband sleeping around and killed him with a hammer. And when a 40-year-old man was propositioned...
Well, now, Buzz, when you're talking about a cut-off penis and a hammer, really, stop all your ass.
He's got something better?
I don't know. You'll be the judge.
All right.
A 40-year-old man was propositioned by another man at a popular bar in Key West, Florida.
Hey, dude, I'm serious.
Yeah?
Look what time it is.
We'll do it tomorrow. Sorry, we're out of time. Too much fun.
I'm not screwing with you, bud. I don't want to get another letter tonight. Right. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, good day to you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye o'clock.
This is the Don and Mike Show.